I'll just make mention of, I said, wow, I can't believe you chose that song, Reggie. And then I said, no, I can believe you chose that song, because this is what God does. And I hope that as the weeks have gone by, for all these many, for some of us, many, many years, decades, that we notice that God, when he speaks, there's going to be confirmation. There's going to be people that say, just what Reggie just said, you know, people that say something that's very similar, or it's the very same scripture, or there's something that is brought into the mix besides just who's preaching or what some of the songs were. Have you noticed how the whole service just blends together and has tremendous connections? And I love to see the way the Lord works. And for anybody that's is not that familiar with us, I don't say something to the worship team about what the message is going to be on. I don't talk to Reggie and say, this is what I'm preaching on. There's no clues, there's no cues for people to say something, to try to through the flesh try to make something fit together. This is the Lord, and for all of us, I hope that you see that. And as Reggie just mentioned, you know, this should really be a great encouragement to us to know that the very God of heaven, the very God who gave prophets these words to write down and collect together all those thousands of years ago, still have meaning today. There's connection. God still speaks. These are not old words on a page. These words are life.
Yes.
These words do have meaning and importance to us right now. Amen. You guys believe that? You know, when we were starting to sing "Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God" song, I just thought, you know, the most beautiful words in the world are found in this book, spoken not only by prophets, but by the very Word of God that was made flesh. And we get to read it. And we get to hear it. And we get to embrace it. Wow. How fortunate are we? You know? And now we're moving into another year. When I was praying about the message, I got it kind of early, but then I had to put it together. I just had the seed last Sunday afternoon after the former service, and it was about moving on, pressing ahead, forgetting the things that lie behind, and going forward. And that was kind of what brought me to where the message is going to be today. And, you know, that burn the ships thing is so right on the money. There's things from our past that weigh us down, that bring us to a place where we're not living as a new creation. We're still living in the past. We still identify ourselves in a former way rather than in a new way. And those things need to be burned. Now, I didn't have the burning of ships idea in my mind, but that fit in just so well. There are things, as we come into this new year, that God wants you and I to put aside, move on, and And let those sins that so easily beset us, that have held on to us, as you were saying that at the very beginning of the service, you know, there's things that are just so hard to let go of. And yet I want to encourage us, because I'm dealing with things, attitudes, thoughts, reactions, that I want to see go, and it doesn't seem like they want to go from me as much as I want to see them. But I know, I just want to say, hope. There is hope in this new year for things that have been hard in the past to be left behind. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
Okay, take the burdens and the chains off this year.
Yes.
And I believe that if we seek the Lord, seek Him,
mm-hmm. yes.
while He may be found, mm-hmm. seek Him and His righteousness, that you and I are going to see a difference in ourselves, a difference in our church, a difference in the community, a difference in this nation. All things that we were praying for in individual ways, that it's going to come together. And we need, as people of God, people of light in a dark world, to be able to be light. Yes. We have to have hope.
Yes.
We have to have trust in God. That was last week's message, you know. If you're going to have fellowship with God, you have to trust the person you're fellowshipping with. Right? So that was last week, and this week is I want to talk about, you know what, how do we, who have all this stuff that we kind of look at and look at ourselves as we're walking along, how do we let that behind, and how do we move forward? That was my next thought as I was praying to God. And I know you know the answer to this. It's vision. Vision. So I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 29. This is where we're going to start. Now, this is coming from a little bit of the negative viewpoint is being spoken here, but we're going to talk about both sides of it. But this is what it says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, he who listens to God, right, is happy. Isn't this something? Now, let me give you what the Hebrew, the meanings of these different words. I'm going to start with the perish word first, and then I'm going to go back to vision, because that's where we're going to take this and go on. The word perish, there's other places in the Bible where the word perish is used, but it's a different Hebrew word. This is the only place in the entire Bible where this particular word is used. It's used one time in this verse. And this is what it means. To cast off restraint. To go in many different directions. So, to perish is like, you know, it's like it means to be lost. It means to be destroyed. Let's see what else. Spinning in circles. No real direction. Lost. An easy prey. You know, the little, you see some of the little varmints running around on the ground, and, you know, they're eating, and you know, if they don't know where they are and they don't know their surroundings, they are easy prey. If they don't know what's really going on around them, those little varmints are easy prey for the bigger ones, aren't they? Are we easy prey? to spiritual forces? Hopefully not. If we're going in the right direction, if we're making the right choices, there's less of a chance that we're going to be a prey to the enemy. We know the enemy is moving about throughout all the earth looking for whom he can devour. Right?
He's looking around.
So that's it also means to be unaware, to perish. You know, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be an easy prey if you're unaware of things. If you don't know some of the things that you should know. Right? So keep all of that in mind. Now that's the word perish. If a person or a people don't have a vision, then they're going to be destroyed. They're going to be easy prey. They're going to be lost. They're just going to be walking around, bumping around, not really having any real good focus. I noticed how many times the word focus was used this morning before. Five times.
Really?
Five times I heard the word focus. Okay, vision. A vision is an oracle, which means God has spoken to somebody and that person says, "Thus says the Lord." And he speaks what God has spoken right to him. All right? That's one aspect of what a vision could be. It could be sight. You can have a vision. I don't know if anybody here has ever had an open vision before you. It can be a dream. It can be in a dream where God speaks and shows. There's something that you see. It can be just simply divine guidance. Divine direction. Where God tells you, gives you a goal to seek after. Again, it's moving forward. There's a focus thing to it. And it also means divine principles. God gives us, and this is, I think, where this particular thing falls in. God gives us particular principles.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That are in His Word. So we get a vision for what God wants of us from His Word. Isn't that right? Dan, you want to say something?
Yeah, I can't take the credit. I'll have to give it to my wife. She mentioned this is the year 2020. Perfect vision.
Yeah, you know, Kathy and I are driving up, we're coming up here, and Kathy says, "Oh, you're going to do," because I mentioned to her about vision, and she goes, "Oh, you're going to do the 2020 thing, aren't you?" But isn't that true? It's the year 2020. 2020 vision is perfect vision, and, you know, and in a way, I thought, that's really something that you can kind of really identify with, click to, and say, man, I want to see things about myself, about life, my purpose, what direction I should be going in, how I can be and act toward other people, the whole thing, right? We want to have that kind of sight, and we want God to give it to us, and He's already given to us things in the Word of God that really helps us out. And when you look at that, that's why the second part of this verse, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law, see, he who frames his thoughts and life around what this teaches, happy is he. Don't you find that that's true?
Yes.
Your own thoughts, my own attitudes, my own ways of looking at things usually doesn't take me into the best situations. and the best emotions. Right? Yeah, go ahead.
I read a quote yesterday. One principle eliminates a lot of difficult decisions. And I think what is meant by that, if you go by the principles, the law in the Word, in the spiritual law in the Word, then there's not a... If some of those decisions aren't really that tough. You know what the Lord says about something. That principle can be a guiding light over a lot of difficult decisions.
Yes.
You don't have to make as difficult a one.
Right. Don't you find that to be true? When you have to look at anything in life, it's godly principles that should guide us in the way that we proceed and the way we work with our fellow employees at our job. It should be godly principles that inform us on how we should vote. Don't you see? It's about principle. It's not about political parties. It's not about who you like and you don't like. The way we should proceed in life, the vision that we should have, that vision must be based on the law, but we're talking about what's written in that book.
Right?
And to embrace that more, I think we all believe that. I think we all say, yeah, that's God's word, and this is how we have to live. But, you know, we're funny little people. We get distracted very easily. We forget certain things. We need to be reminded. We need to be kicked in the pants sometimes to get us going in the right direction because we're human. We have this thing. But I want to say this other thing. But we're not just human. We are a new creation.
Yes.
And there's that fight within us, flesh and spirit. Mm-hmm. And I pray for this year that we're going to be people that are going to make good, godly choices in our life. More than last year. Can we do that?
Yeah.
You know? At least one more is better than nothing. Right? But hopefully a lot more.
Right.
That's what we want. I mean, what do you think it means? Seek first His kingdom and His what?
Righteousness.
Yes. If we do those two things, looking for His kingdom, that fellowship with the Spirit of God, with Jesus in our hearts, and the prayer life, and just talking with Him, and having that fellowship with God, and reading His Word. A lot of fellowship with God happens through reading His Word, and you do that, and then also that we seek His righteousness. Right? You do those two things. Wow, God likes that. Doesn't he?
Yes.
And then he starts adding things to you.
Amen. Right. Amen.
That's what the word says.
Yeah.
That's the words of the song that we sang. Yeah. Right?
So this is fantastic to me. Now, you know, vision happens on two levels. It happens on a corporate level, like what's the vision for our church? It happens on individual levels. What vision has God given you? Because there are specific things that God has in store, has planned for you and me. Different things. And yet together, in a very synergistic way, it's all going to blend together. Right?
Yeah.
I think that's just a fantastic thing. Just that synergy, the way one thing that somebody does complements the other, and you know, where there's vision with an individual for, let's say, they want to start a job, they want to start their own job, they want to be an entrepreneur. You know what? Having a vision for that. Seeing it, playing it out in your mind, And then it gives a person on the individual level an energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
If people have no vision coming into services, right? You're kind of, okay, let's get this over with. Yeah, I got, you know, football games are on. But you know, if you have a vision, if you understand that when God brings His people together, there's something that's supposed to happen. Maybe we're going to stand with a sister or a brother and pray for them. We have no concept usually what one little thing that's said can do for somebody over in Colorado.
That's right.
With what we're doing here.
That's right.
Yeah. Because our mind hasn't opened up to the vision of who we are in Christ. Right. We need to grab a hold of that kind of vision. We need, which changes the way you look at yourself. Now I want to look at two really curious things in the Old Testament about this. Okay, so would you go to Psalm 63, verse 8. Psalm 63, oops, wrong way. Psalm 63, verse 8. Takes a while, huh? You know, when God gives you something, yeah, we can end up really, we want to go after it, right? It says we follow after it. And I just want to point that out as we read this scripture. Psalm 63, verse 8 says this: "My soul follows hard after thee, thy right hand upholds me." So, we have a direction to go in. A vision gives us some kind of direction. And when we know it's God, we should follow hard after it, shouldn't we? So that's one aspect. Now, the other one I wanted to go to, if you would go to Isaiah 51, verse 1. So we want to follow after the Lord, and we want to do it with intensity, with purpose. You've got to have a vision to have that energy. If you're going to follow hard after something, you have to have the energy to do it.
Right.
Yeah. The other day, I planned on. Let me see. I was going to snow blow the driveway. And then do a little bit of shoveling, and then I was going to bring in a couple wheelbarrow loads of wood for the stove. I got done the snow blowing, and there was no way that I was going to get to the wood. But I really wanted to, but I didn't have the energy. And this happens in the spirit realm. There's the same kind of thing that can happen to you and I. We get weary in well doing. We become distracted. We become turned around, and we've got to come back to what is the vision of who we are as an individual, right? Right?
Yeah.
And as a church, because it applies in both realms. So Isaiah 51:1 says this: "Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness." Oh, we're seeking after His kingdom and His righteousness. Oh, okay. So you who follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord, look unto the rock from whence you are hewn. And to the hole of the pit from whence you were digged. Now that's a very interesting little scripture. Let me tell you what I see in it, and then you might see something different. But this is what I see. We need, when we're seeking after His kingdom and His righteousness, we better be holding on to Jesus, the rock of our salvation, right?
That's right.
We need to hold on to Him. He's at the center. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus.
Yes.
And that's very important for us to continually remember.
Yes.
Right? But also, and this is funny, because so God, our rock, is always in the present and will be in the future for us. He's present, isn't he?
Yes.
He's the I am.
Yes.
Right? But, you know, sometimes you've got to look from where you came from what you got digged out of. You have to remember that. We don't, but this is where we get hooked, because sometimes when we're looking about where we came from, we get all caught up and we're looking backwards instead of forwards. But the scripture seems to want to remind us that the treasure that we have is in earthen vessels. We're not so hot, Jesus is.
Right.
That's right?
Yes.
And so when we're doing something that we're really moving in the Spirit, or there's a great anointing on us, or we've done something for someone and really helped them out and all of that, just remember this. That isn't you or me. That's Jesus, His life, becoming more a part of our life. And we can't really take much credit in anything that's good. But yet, we are the vessel of good. The treasure is in earthen vessels. But the treasure is in us.
Yeah. Right.
Right. What's that word? A paradox. But our attitude is, we got to remember, hey, when we minister to somebody that's into drugs, or they're having all these different kinds of problems, we were dug out of the same pit that they might still be in.
Right. Yes.
So we better not think we're so high and mighty.
Right.
And that gives us empathy for the person that's in the place that they're in. Right? So that is what gives us the focus to minister in love, because we know that we came from that same kind of a crazy thought life and bad decision thing, right? Mm-hmm. Which we're still trying to get ourselves out of.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? So, Melinda and I were talking after the service last week, just for a short little bit, and we were saying, you know, there's a reason why the people that are in this church are in this church. The scripture says God so composes the body for His own purposes. So He has a vision, not only for you as an individual, but for us as a church body. And so that's something I want all of us to think a little bit more about. What is your role in this body? It isn't just to come and listen.
Right?
You understand that? There's more to it than just that. And I think that we can become very comfortable. Did you hear that word earlier today? Where we need to stretch the tent pegs of our heart. Stretch a little bit. Move out into some uncomfortable areas. Right? So, just think about that, all right? For yourself, on an individual basis. And us as a church. I see that one of the things... the Lord spoke this to me a long time ago. I felt from the Lord that we're going to be a church that is going to have mature mature disciples of Christ that will be brought to a place where we're all going out someplace and minister. You understand that?
Yes.
In different ways, in different situations. You know, you get a vision. You can have a vision about the Unity School. You can have a vision about maybe ministering to the elderly or some other. There's so many things, isn't there? With specific spiritual niches. Things that God has placed on your heart that God wants you to reach out. And as we grow in our maturity together, from what you read in the Word of God, what you hear preached to you from the pulpit, what you get from talking amongst the brethren and being encouraged, you know, we're here so that we can build one another up in the most holy faith. There's all kinds of things that go with this. There's negative things as well as positive things. Sometimes we need rebuke. Sometimes we need different negative things that happen to us to wake us up in areas that, about ourselves that we didn't know existed, right? You understand this? Or?
Yeah.
I'm not losing you here, am I?
No.
Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
I had a friend contact me today, and as when people are going through life changes, making decisions to try to ease the pain and to bring happiness.
Yeah.
And, you know, from coming here, and it was definitely not me speaking because I'm not this smart. But I said, you know, the opposite of pain and sorrow is not happiness, it's peace. And I said, in order for you to find that peace, you're going to have to ferret out a whole lot that is ugly. Relationships, thoughts, attitudes, reactions, actions.
Yes.
I said, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
You may be at peace, but hurting. You may be at peace, but lonely. You may be at peace in some of these negative. But your core, your soul, is at peace. The happiness is fleeting.
Yes.
The peace will stay with you.
Yes.
But you got to work on it. And it takes focus. Otherwise, you'll perish.
Yeah. You'll be destroyed
and
by your thoughts.
In circles.
Yes.
Bumping into and searching for things that you think will make you happy, but truly
but don't.
And so I've been thinking about that quite a bit.
Excellent.
And I think I do. I fall into that. You're looking for the thrill, you know, jumping on airplanes. I can go on and on. For the thrill.
Not for some of us,
but for the thrill.
Yes. Yes.
While losing that peace.
Yeah. Excellent. That excellent point. Amen. All right. Now, I wanted to talk about vision for the church. Okay? Our vision of the church. Now, there are some basics that right out of the Word of God that lets us know what are things the church should be about, should be going in a direction in. Right? Because vision gives us direction. Right? All right, so would you turn to Matthew chapter 4? All of this is about following Jesus. Right? We have to follow Jesus. If we're going to go in the right direction, if we're going to have a vision, that vision, right at the center of that vision is going to be Jesus, and Jesus and the Spirit of God is going to lead us in the way that we should go. So we need to follow Him, because He'll lead us in the right direction. So here's what Jesus says. Matthew 4, verse 19 is one thing that's very clear that the church has done ever since the inception of it. And He said unto them, follow Me. Come, watch where I'm going and you go there. I'll give you a vision. It's going to be My vision for you. And He says, I'll make you fishers of men. Right? So, this is the real big thing that the church has really grabbed a hold of, isn't it? We're to witness the gospel to people.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
We don't have to wonder if we're supposed to do that.
Right, right.
Well, there's a vision that God has already placed in His Word that says that we should be fishers of men. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's churches. The church has done that
to a large degree, but obviously we can always do better, right? Okay. I'm not going to have you turn to this next one, this is a tough thing here. Matthew 8:22 says, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." Doesn't sound like a very sweet, lovely Jesus there. And we certainly can't get away with saying something that harsh without people saying, well, Jesus wouldn't. No, Jesus does talk like that. He does have a particular attitude when it comes to people that have embraced death and darkness. They don't want to hear the gospel. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. Now, that doesn't mean that if we have an opportunity that we don't talk to people. But our focus is not going to be in that regard. Do you understand that? Understand her?
And what I find, too, is that it affects us. Like if there's somebody so against it,
yes,
and we're trying to persuade them into believing, but they don't want to take a stand, then we feel bad. You know, like it,
yes,
like it harms us.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is, like, don't feel that burden.
That's,
you know,
right.
Like if mm-hmm. they don't want to embrace it, that's their choice, yeah, you know?
Because we don't know if it's not at that, you know, some other time it's
right.
going to be
right.
Oh,
and it's
sorry.
Not us anyways.
Right.
Right, it's yeah. him.
It's
right?
him.
So he's telling you, okay, talk to him about this. Okay, so you talk to him. You did your part.
Yes.
Now it's God's part to change him from that point on.
Right. And we don't measure ourselves by how many people we brought to Christ.
Mm. Right.
Or we shouldn't. But you know, that's isn't that important though that we see that you know, we have to have an attitude where we present, but we don't have to try to shove something down anybody's throat.
Right.
Right? Step back, move on. And doesn't Jesus say that when he sent the disciples out? He said, if they don't receive your word, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next town.
Right.
Because what I'm getting at is we're wasting our time with that particular person.
Yeah, at that time.
Over here, at that time, but yeah. over here, this person might be waiting for us.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. So, hey, okay, well, God will lead me to somebody else.
Right, and go.
Right. And maybe God will circle us around and come back to that person some other time.
Yeah.
I threw this one in here. It says, John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And having a hearing ear is so important. Developing a hearing ear, sensing when you hear something on TV or in you're watching a movie or reading your Bible. Do sometimes words, phrases kind of jump out at you? You go, huh. That's what happens to me almost every time that I'm looking to find a message. There's a lot that can be talked about any Sunday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's I'm not looking just to come up with some message. I want to hear what God has to say. Well, how am I going to know what that is? Except that if I don't develop, and that means you too, if you don't develop a hearing ear, one of the things that you can know that happens is that things kind of pop up at you.
Yeah.
You go, oh, words kind of do something to you. You go, oh. And then if you just let it go, it can pass you by.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So it's important that we seek when we feel something, that we seek it out. Oh, Lord, is that you talking to me right here? And then you go on, you want to say something?
The quote that popped out at me last yesterday from the bulletin was, wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening.
Yes.
When you have preferred to talk.
Yeah. I'm in a very funny position here because I'm doing most of the talking. You know? And I want you to know that all of us need what everybody else has to give too.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
It's important because the vision of the whole is supplied by what each person can bring. Mm-hmm. Not everything that I have done has been perfect and right and but neither is anything you have. And we have to separate as the scripture says, the precious from the vile. You look and say, well, Malcolm wasn't very very loving in that case. And what he was saying there didn't sound right. So I'm not taking that. Separate. Say, oh, no, I'm not taking that. But oh, I like this thing, this other thing. You know. So you and I have to separate what's right and what's not right. I think that most of the time that I'm up here and I've been, you know, on my face wanting to say only God's words, that most of the time that what I'm saying, I sense and I feel the Holy Spirit. But talking with you guys sometimes, one-on-one in a group, at elders' meetings, you know, I can get out of the Spirit.
But so
can anybody else, right? So we have to work together, don't we? We have to be together and give each other room. What?
I was going to say, but if you have questions, you know where to go to.
And you do. Right. That's right
there.
Yeah.
You know.
Right, because our vision is going to be based in that word, isn't it?
Not as a practical thing. Sometimes it's good to just, when you're reading scripture and something really jumps out at you, write it down.
Write it down right away.
My mind is fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
And when you write it down, you can go back and visit it so much, and it continues to speak to you. And it keeps you focused.
Yes. That's a big key, isn't it? I woke up at 12:30 a few nights ago. 12:30 after midnight. 12:30. And a thought came into my mind, and I went, oh, that's from you, isn't it, God? I knew I wanted to remember it when I woke up. So I did that very thing. I got up, I went out and wrote it down. Because I knew I wanted to remember it. You know? I used to think, well, if I don't remember it, then God didn't want me to. No, that's not how it really is. So when I was younger, I thought that. Now that I'm older, I go, no, my mind is doing something else. All right. Another part of this thing about following the Lord and therefore having a vision and knowing where you're going, it says in Matthew 16:24, take up your cross and follow me. So there's an aspect of this where, somebody was saying it too, it isn't always pleasant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You got to take up the cross. You got to bear something. There's affliction there. Right? There's trouble there. And you have to get through that. I wanted to talk about this one thing here. You know, all these things that I just mentioned, these things should always be working in the background in any church, right? For a church to really be alive, vibrant, spirit-led, then people should have all those things going on in their life. Different degrees, but at least you're moving in them. right? And it's important not only that we be a church that that is reaching out to the lost world, but we're also people that are picking up our cross and following Him, you know? Allowing the Lord to mortify the deeds of our body. To recognize that. Not to be, and that big word, pride, you know, that you guys were talking about. Pride stops us a lot of times in moving ahead. Because we think we have a position, or we think we have a reputation, or something that has to be kept, and we can't reach out beyond that, and we have to learn how to do that in the right times. Okay. Since we're in Matthew, let's just jump over to Matthew 7. Because I want to say this about what's coming up for this year. We're talking about a vision, and that it needs to be based in Christ. It needs to be based out of the Word. That's where the vision is. We have instruction in the Word of God that makes it very clear what all of us as Christians should have as a vision. And God also gives us individual things, individual burdens for particular areas, particular spiritual niches that we're to have our hands in. But let me say this. Matthew 7, I'm going to read verses 13 through 15. Enter in through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to what?
Destruction.
Oh, perishing. Oh, okay. So this if we don't have a vision and keep that before us and remember what God says, who we are and what we're all about, then we start thinking about ourselves in a more in a fleshy kind of way, more in a personal kind of way, and we lose that real direction of who we are and what our purpose is. And so, and wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to ruin, to destruction, to perishing. And many are they which go therein. Wow. And then it goes on. Because narrow is the gate, and straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and there's few that find it. And then he says this: beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Oh. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Right? So there's a thing, you know, not every word that you might think that comes into your mind is from God. Do you understand that? There's false things out there. There's an enemy out there to lure us by smooth words, to be drawn into certain kinds of things. It's mostly about doctrine, mostly, but with Christians. But it can be about any kind of thing. And it's important for us to realize that we need to test every spirit. If there are things that are going on, just because it's supernatural, just because you're hearing something, it's not always necessarily coming from the Lord. And so we are to test every spirit. Right? So that's very important. We can't be naive people running through life that anybody that says Jesus' name, oh, how wonderful. We need to know.
Verse 21.
Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, Why enter the kingdom of heaven? That he who does the will of my Father has the direction, is moving in that direction. Right? So this is very important for us. I have to throw that in because if we're going to talk about vision and direction, realize that sometimes the enemy's going to try to find a way to pull us out from being where God really wants us to be. So it's important that, you know, we're not fearful of that. We just have to understand that it's important for us to test everything out, right?
Pastor, when you talk about the false prophets, the first verse you said.
Yeah.
To me, again, my fault, but I always, you know, you think of a preacher or whatever, but I think that false prophet could also be work relationships or different friends. That you have that due to their, you know, maybe gossiping, I think of what we're going through at work right now, the word gossip, and it pulls you away from making the stand that you need to make spiritually and into fighting, bickering, which again spins in circles.
Yes, it does.
That hurt feelings. Yes. And so I just, that's another thing I've been working on.
It's at every level.
Correct.
Yes.
And it starts small, that can lead to a big downfall.
Yes, it does.
You know, you start spinning down that hole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. A lot of good meat. You know, it's good meat. Amen. All right, so. You know, the vision for ourselves and for the church, you know, I'm hoping that this is going to be a year where there's newness of life. Yeah. A new, something new and beautiful and wonderful starts to happen on an individual basis, but us as a body, and that we kind of have the same vision and going in the same kind of direction, although there's all these different little nuances that pull together, make the whole the right way. And so I'm going to end in Matthew chapter 11 at the end of it. You know, all of this is not to get us all worked up in a frothy lather of trying to find the spirituality, and we need to just make our connection with Jesus every day. Pray every day, read this word every day, make connection with believers every day. That's going to make a real big difference to us, right? We need to learn to rest in this word.
Yes.
Rest. This rest that we get inside gives us the energy to be active with what God shows us. All right, so I want to end with this very famous, important, wonderful set of words that Jesus says at the end of Matthew 11, starting in verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Peace.
Yeah, peace. Like Jason was saying, this is where you get your peace. This is where I get my peace, is when I make my connection with Jesus. Somebody gets me all riled up about something, I'm all, you know what? As soon as I make connection with Jesus, the peace comes, right?
Yes.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. There's the whole thing about not having the pride. And you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I just pray that for all of us for this year, that we will be people of vision, new vision. The vision that God has, not what ours is, but what God has. And that we find the rest to bring peace in it throughout this year.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.